You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Night Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of oneofus.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Well, go on, Justin. Trying to mash up the place with the good vibes, with the positive.
I and Annie Rasta, one love.
You done as well as a good job as one of the actors in this movie that we'll talk about.
I know. All my experience with patois comes from playing Grand Theft Auto 4 with Little Jacob. So I'm just like, yeah.
I forgot about Little Jacob. My God.
No, seriously, when I was playing it in college, you know, this is, you know, me, dumb college kid back in the day, me and my one of my friends, we would just play that stuff and just go, I like my one of Nico. I understand. Yeah. You know, just like, oh.
What do you know about the Yardie?
Yep, so this is Yardie. This movie premiered at Sundance last year, I believe. And hey, this is the directorial effort from Idris Elba. You know, I'm like, wow, okay.
I mean, he does everything else at this point. Like, he's written, I'm pretty sure he's written, right?
I don't know if he's written, I mean, because this is his directorial debut, for sure.
Okay, because the thing is, yeah, like, I've seen him act, I've seen him rap, and I've seen him be a DJ. So at this point, well, what else can you do?
He's got that new TV show coming on Netflix where he's playing a DJ. So, or at least one of the roles, I think, is a DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But yeah, no, like, I've seen him, like, legitimately have, like, real verses. Not, like, parody verses in a movie or whatever. Like, a real verse with, like, real rappers. And he's not bad. I want to show you this after the review.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure that's why he got really into wanting to make this movie. Because... So this is based on a novel that came out. I don't know exactly when.
I think in like the early 90s.
Okay, yeah. So for people who don't know, the novel focuses on this main character here, Dennis, you know, called D by most people, who's being played by, at least later on in the adult version, Amin. I keep wanting to say Idi Amin. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not that guy.
Nope. So, yeah, he's growing up as a young kid in Jamaica. There's a whole big thing. There's a gang war. And after his brother tries to resolve the fighting, he gets killed at a concert that he put on to try and settle peace between the two gangs. And so years later, he comes to, you know, trying to grow up in the society. And
there's a whole bunch of... he's working as pretty much a drug runner for one of the gangs.
Yeah, this guy named King Fox, one of the big gang lords there, who, of course, like most gang lords in these movies, decides to want to open a record business and a music business.
Oh man, he is ruthless. Like, listen, if this shit ain't played every single day, I'm killing somebody.
Well, he's like the Suge Knight of Jamaica, it feels like.
He basically is.
Yeah, so he sends him off to England after a botched deal that happens, and pretty much it's the story of how he's dealing, you know, D is dealing with life in England, trying to weave in and out of the gangster world, while also trying to find vengeance for his brother, because he knows the person who shot him, you know, another kid who lived in the town. And it's like, oh, he's in New York, don't worry about it. But he's, you know, things come to light that maybe not all that stuff is true that he's told about it.
Yeah.
And there's a whole big mystery surrounding it, while he's also trying to reconnect with his true love, this girl who got sent out to London as well. And
Yvonne.
Yeah, which... So that's interesting about this movie is that it's got a lot of threads in it, you know, which is funny because it's not that many characters, but they're doing a lot with this one character throughout this movie.
There's so many subplots happening all at once simultaneously. Yeah, like, there's one point where it's the revenge mission. There's one point where it's straight up just Goodfellas.
There's one point where it's City of God, more or less.
Yeah, one point is City of God. And then one part where it's just like, hey, let's be a band now, or let's try and make it in the music.
Yeah, then it becomes Hustle and Flow.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's an amalgam of so many movies in this one movie. And then there's the whole, well, actually, I now have met my, you know, my girl, and she's actually got her daughter with her, too, a little four-year-old. And so yeah. It's a family man story.
By the way, that little girl is adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She's got that accent that I know so many, when I lived in England for 2 years, all those little girls who grew up there are just like, hello there, is your name D for daddy? You know,
D
just
for
like,
daddy. And you're like, oh.
So adorable. You know, so this is an interesting thing with this movie, because there's, I kind of feel like the same way when we reviewed Fighting With My Family, where there's actually a lot of stuff I do generally like about this movie, and yet I can see where, so this movie's got a very divided critical opinions from the people who saw it already, but Weirdly enough, it's divided by American and European critics, because the British critics like this movie a lot, and the American critics are all like, eh, we've seen better. To be fair, they're both probably right in some ways, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with them on that. Like, we mentioned all those movies before, it's a lesser version of all of those other movies, but I still think there's a lot to like on its own.
Yeah.
I do like, I think Dennis, the lead character, I think he's a very compelling character, because he's very conflicted. He's very driven. He's driven by revenge, but at the same time, like, he wants to be there, like, with his girl and be with his daughter. And trying to do all this other shit at once, that, like, I think he manages well in terms of just, like, being this very divided character.
Yeah, no, he has to shoulder a lot of the drama in this movie, and I think he does it pretty capably, you know, throughout it. And most of the other cast is pretty good in here. Like, there's Stephen, well, okay, so I'm sure this is one character that you're talking about, Stephen Graham's character, Rico.
Okay, we'll get to it now, yes. This white man, this white British man, weirdly trying to do patois and his Cockney accent at the same time, and it really doesn't work. Every time he was talking, I was like, this... You ain't doing a good job, brother. Like, I know you're trying, but God, it's so bad.
I'm sure it's meant to be kind of that really terrible way of doing it, where it's like, yeah, he's clearly someone who's trying to posture himself in society, but it is really grating to listen to him the entire time.
I'm like, this feels like the worst version. Like, this is appropriation 101. Like, this is a dude who so looks like he never grew up anywhere near Jamaica, but he just hangs around a lot of Jamaicans. So he's like talking like them, thinking it's going to be all cool and shit, but it's, doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I mean,
he's also a big cokehead.
Oh yeah,
I think that's probably why.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things, and I'm just like, okay, he's kind of the de facto villain of the story, or at least one of the major antagonist forces. So you're just like, okay, he's kind of that dude. He's just the dumb English guy who's trying to fit in with the Jamaicans. So I kind of learned to accept that at some point. As
I accepted it to a point, but it's still like, he was super distracting.
Yeah. But one guy I really liked was the guy who played King Fox in this movie. You only see so much of him, but he's quite the presence in terms of, like, you know, this big Jamaican ganglord. And also, he has the most fly style, just all those hats and suits he's wearing.
That cane. I was like, yeah, that's a pimp cane right there.
Exactly. And, you know, and all the cast is overall pretty good, I think, on the whole. And I don't know. I feel like the biggest thing with this movie, I can't pinpoint exactly what's wrong with this movie. It's just that, again, it's good, just not great.
That's,
you know?
I think the problem is it tries to do, like we mentioned, it tries to do so many things at once, but does not know how to balance it well. It reminds me a lot of White Boy Rick, where it's trying to tell all these different stories, and there's parts of it that are like, if you just focused on this one thing, this is really, really good. But because you're trying to do all these other things, you're kind of just a jack of all trades, master of none. Because there's times where you just full on forget about certain plot lines. Like the whole thing with the music thing, that doesn't get established until like almost halfway through the movie. And then there's a while where it stops being established again, so you completely forget about it.
Yeah, that was the least interesting plot of this whole movie, but especially because it's these three gangsters who come up to try and rob him at first, and then it's like, oh no, but you see, we need the money because we're trying to compete in the Battle of the Bands, you know, essentially. And I'm just like...
The dance hall version, the Sound Clash, which is like, essentially a reggae dance hall version of the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll say I love the music in this, but that's because I'm biased and I love reggae and dance hall. And
no, it's all really good.
It's so good.
And that's the thing with this movie is that it really gets by a lot on the charm of the Jamaican culture that it captures, you know, just from the music to the patois to the, you know, the way that the people act in and out of the scenes here. It's there's a distinct flavor to it almost. You know, that kind of glosses over the stuff of the problems with so many movies it borrows from, because it feels unique to show Jamaican gangster lifestyle like this.
Yeah, especially in this era, which you don't really see a lot of. Does this take place over in, like, what, the 70s or 80s?
I want to say, yeah, something like that.
I think it's between the two genres, because there's a big time jump between, like, 6 years.
Yeah, because it was published in 92, so I'm assuming it had to be a little bit, sometime like the 80s before that. So
yeah,
but no, it's involving. It's involving stuff. And I got to say that as a director, for Idris Elba, it's a decently looking movie, you know? Like, it's shot well, it's got a good flow editing-wise kind of stuff. It's not badly made in any capacity.
Oh, no, not in the slightest. Like, it's not a cinematic masterpiece. It's not, like, one of the grand directorial debuts by an actor. But it's very serviceable for the story it's trying to tell.
Yeah, and I guess I'm also a little biased because I saw another actor-directed movie recently, The Kid, with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Is it not good?
No. So maybe I'm a little biased saying, hey, at least Idris Elba is not as bad a director as Vincent D'Onofrio is.
Damn.
Yeah, now, I will give a warning, too, for people. The version we got of this screener has subtitles on it all the way through.
Oh, this is uncompromisingly Jamaican.
Oh, like, yes,
If you cannot understand Patois, like, there's subtitles, but if you're planning on watching this without subtitles, if you're someone who's, like, auto-reading during a movie, and you don't understand Patois, you're going to be fucking lost.
I mean, it's not, like, impenetrable to listen to everything, because they're mostly speaking English. It's just really thick accents, and then a lot of cultural context. Like, I've never heard so many variations of same profanity as I have when I listen to this, where I'm like...
Like, what? I know you know blood clot, because you hear that all the time.
And yeah, like bumba clot or something like that.
But bumba clot, blood clot, yeah. Like, you heard all that stuff, but then there's other ones where you're like, I know you won't understand that.
Yeah, no, there's a few words I'm like, I'm glad I have subtitles, because I would not know what the heck he just said in that scene.
Thank God. My dad's side is West Indian, so this is, like, all nothing to me.
No, but I think you can generally follow through it. But yes, if you are one of those people like, oh, the British, why do they speak such thick accents? I need subtitles on this. You will definitely need subtitles for this movie.
Oh, it's great when there's just, like, confrontations between, like, two sets of accents. And I want to see someone who doesn't understand either. They're just like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, no, I... You know, I generally enjoy this movie, but I can also say it's like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm conflicted. I know I can see why it's not great, but I can also say it's not terrible. You know, I enjoyed myself watching it all the way through, even with knowing there's a point where it gets pretty predictable where it's going. And I will say at least the ending is an ending where I feel like it's a neat ending, but I didn't want the, you know, the real ending kind of thing, you know?
It felt like... Honestly, I think it could have lasted a little bit, maybe like 5-10 minutes longer to just kind of flesh out the ending. Because it feels like one of those ones where you didn't really know what you wanted to do. So you're just like, all right, I'll just end it like this.
Yeah, there was at least one giant thing with pretty much a resolution that happened to one character and especially those around them where that just goes completely unresolved at the end. You're just like, somebody might have an issue with what just happened in this sequence. Just saying.
And even, like, the whole thing with, like, his brother, because we'll say his brother shows up again and, like, he's haunted by, like, the memory of his brother. And so they even mention, like, a duppy or a ghost, how he would be haunted by the ghost of his brother. And obviously, like, this is not, like, a real thing, but it's one of those things where you bring this up a lot of times, but you don't really settle on what's going to happen at the end of this. Like, after the story... What about that whole aspect of it? Like, is he cleared? Is his conscience clear? Is he, like, just doomed to deal with this shit? Or just, it's a lot that they don't answer that I feel like could have benefited from a longer runtime.
Yeah, that one just felt like mostly a directorial flourish. Just like, wouldn't it be cool to have these hallucination sequences where he's seeing his brother as a ghost kind of thing? I'm just like, it kind of wore off after a while for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, I don't know what else I can really say about this movie. I think, again, a lot of the acting is really good, as much as I can't understand everybody talking. But
that's because you're a white man.
I know.
White privilege. I'm kidding.
I would be Stephen Graham in this movie if I was in it. So.
You absolutely. I almost want to see that happen, but I really don't want to see that happen.
Especially the stuff that happens to him in this movie. I'm like, no, thank you. Anyway, I mean, are there any other major points you wanted to bring up about this film? Because I feel like I've said my piece on most of the stuff in this movie.
It's pretty much it. Like, it's not that much to say because it just we'd be just copying from other reviews.
Yeah.
Like, no, not even just other reviews of this movie. I mean other reviews of movies that have existed. Like, that's how much of a pastiche it feels.
Yeah, it really does feel like it's just borrowing from all the history of the great gangster movies. And that's not always a bad thing. It's just...
It might be because of the book. We don't know. I haven't read the book. I'm not familiar with it. So it might be like that on the page.
Yeah, which I have to wonder. I'm like, yeah, is this thing just... like, is this an accurate retelling of the book? Is it taking a lot of liberties? I don't know. So, you know, apologies to the Jamaican writer here, Victor Headley. I'm just like, I just don't know. I've never read the book. I'm sorry. Although, apparently he actually did write the script too for this movie too. So.
Okay, gotcha.
So I have to assume that it's at least mostly accurate. Sorry, I just saw that right here on the wiki page, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I'll just give a rating here. I think I'm gonna give this... because I still enjoyed this movie, even acknowledging the fault, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10, 7 out of 10 yuppies.
Oh, 7 out of 10 yuppies, nice.
Yeah, I feel like that's appropriate for my rating here. So.
Yes, sir. Yo, white man.
The white boys go crazy for the white powder.
That one dude with the mustache... He was in there for one scene, and I was like, "You're doing too much, brother." So, yeah, no, overall, this movie's fine. Like, it's not a bad way to kill an hour and 40 minutes?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half plus a really long credit sequence, so it's actually a pretty short movie.
So it passes by quick. It's harmless. Like we mentioned, it's just a copy of a lot of stuff done not as good. But I still enjoyed the vibe of it. I enjoyed the I love the music. The performances, they're all pretty solid all across the board. There's nothing just amazing and there's nothing terrible. So overall, I just got to give it I'll be generous. I'll give it 7 sound systems out of 10.
Sound systems. I'm amazed at how many different ways they, all these different phrases and terminologies they have in their patois. You know, I'm just like, I've never heard people refer to a band as a sound system before.
Man, shit. 7 MCs out of 10. But dude, I'm gonna get you out some more music.
Okay, sir.
You listen, you say that okay, and I'm going to make you. I'm gonna make you listen to shit. You'll be versing more people. There are more reggae artist than fucking Bob Marley.
Oh, I believe it. I've listened to other reggae other than Bob Marley. Like, that's the thing. Like, did they even make a Bob Marley joke in here? They're like, all
they
right,
did.
Bob.
Yeah. The customs agent at the very beginning when the dude shows up in London, he's like, oh, I love Bob Marley. He's like, all right, cool.
Whatever, white man.